You got me a gift. You got me a gift, a soccer jersey. It's pretty sick. I want to read my favorite part from the proposed bill. Central banks are increasingly taking actions that may cause harm to the economic stability of El Salvador. That in order to mitigate the negative impact from central banks, it becomes necessary to authorize the circulation of a digital currency with a supply that cannot be controlled by any central bank and is only altered in accord with the objective and calculable criteria. So as of now, El Salvador is set to be the first Bitcoin country and the first country to make Bitcoin legal tender and treat it as a world currency and have a Bitcoin on their reserves.
We just moved from game theory to the real world. Things are about to change fast. It's time for a Guy's Take episode. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I just want to start out by saying how awesome it was to meet so many of you guys at Bitcoin 2021. I'm just a little bit blown away, to be perfectly honest, by the number of people who seem to really enjoy this show and get benefit out of what I do here, and I absolutely love doing this, so it makes it even more awesome to see everybody and to see you guys in person, because so often it's just numbers on a screen, you know. So it's epic to have it be made real right in front of me. So really, it was just so awesome to meet everybody. And hopefully I'll get another chance real soon for everybody who I know I did not get to meet up with. But I'll be at BitBlock Boom. I'm going to be hosting a lightning workshop. So anybody coming out, maybe I'll get to see you then. But on to today's show. Sorry if my voice is a little off. I have definitely lost it because I was present at Jack Mallor's presentation. And I was screaming very, very loudly and lost my voice. Funny thing is, actually in the clip that I think I can hear myself in another clip later on in the video, but in the clip I just played, right at the very end when he says he puts it on that El Salvador would be putting Bitcoin on their reserves, there's a whistle and then there's one very loud yell. That's me. That's Guy Swan right there yelling at Jack Mallor's and trying to digest the incredible, incredible news. And it's really, really fascinating to see how quickly things are moving already. There is already seems to be a move for support in other areas. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But I kind of want to give an overview. So first, to anybody who doesn't know, I'm surprised if you haven't been on social media or something, but El Salvador, the president of El Salvador, has worked with Jack Mallor's from Strike, the Lightning app that I absolutely love and we've talked about a lot on this show. They have worked together to write a bill that he is introducing into Congress this week in El Salvador that would make Bitcoin legal tender and put Bitcoin on the reserves of the National Treasury. This is something that we have been discussing, like the Bitcoiners, all the way back to when we first got into this, my brother and I, back in 2011, when Bitcoin was just absolutely nothing. We talked about the idea, the game theory behind introducing a sound monetary good into a world of fiat and centralized systems, and how that transition might look. And it's so funny that we speculated, that so many people speculated even back then. Jameson Loppe even has a tweet from a couple of years ago. And this has been talked about on Bitcoin Talk forums and all sorts of things about how it was likely that a small, poorer nation, or maybe even like a dictatorship or something, was the most likely to be the first to truly embrace and adopt Bitcoin as a country because of the amount of the pressure, the controls, the lack of independence they have with being excluded from the international monetary system and or having to use a foreign currency like the dollar. And there are a lot of those countries out there. A lot of the developing world gets hit so hard, and Jack Mallish talks about this, they just absolutely get demolished when we go into a recession. We think, oh, there's a little bit of unemployment, oh, there's a little bit of inflation or something, and oh, interest rates are going to be bad for a little while. We have it easy. We are in the center of the dollar empire. We are at the center of the world reserve currency. Everybody outside of us doesn't have the option of printing the money in order to bail themselves out. We are basically able to bail ourselves out at their expense. They are hit 5x, 10x as hard as we are. And them embracing Bitcoin, they don't lose any independence. They already have lost. They already don't have so much of their independence. They are already forced into these situations by bigger countries that just push them around, and they genuinely don't have an option. El Salvador doesn't have its own currency right now. They're basically forced to use the US dollar. So when things like this happen, when the pandemic happens, when we go into a heavy recession, when interest rates get volatile, they get hit so much harder, while at the same time having no way to protect themselves, none at all. They're not connected to the financial system. Jack Mallish talks about in this speech, 70% of the population in El Salvador does not have access to a bank account. Basic finances and very basic tools for securing the value that you produce are essentially inaccessible to the overwhelming majority of the population. Now, one caveat to point out here is that it has not been made legal tender yet. A bill is being introduced to Congress, and we do not know, obviously, if it will be passed, but the key here is that even if it doesn't get passed, this is a major step. Something massive has happened here, 100% regardless of the outcome. They have legitimized it officially, with or without the law, that Bitcoin is a legitimate global currency. And this is going to have domino effects that happen very, very fast, in my opinion. I really think this is going to start getting out of hand in the sense that a lot of governments around the world, a lot of governments potentially in Latin America, are going to start signaling their support or rejection of Bitcoin very quickly. They're going to make their stance known. And it looks like there's already going to be a bit of activity, maybe even just in the next week or two, as this bill lands in front of Congress in El Salvador. For instance, already, just since this event, Gabriel Silva, who is a politician from Panama, has just made a statement, has just retweeted out the news about El Salvador. And the translation of his tweet says, quote, "This is important. And Panama cannot be left behind. If we want to be a true technology and entrepreneurship hub, we have to support cryptocurrencies. We will be preparing a proposal to present at the assembly. If you are interested in building it, you can contact me." And then we also have Fabio Osterman from Brazil, who is the head of it's literally called the New Party, which there's actually a lot of parties, so it's not as if this is the president or anything, but it's a significant party in Brazil, and the head of the party now has laser eyes. I mean, seriously, it's not even been a full 2 days yet. So just get ready. The next couple of weeks are going to be crazy. Probably the price is going to be very volatile. In fact, it kind of looks like that's already starting today, but it's just going to be crazy. But this is a monumental milestone. And it's not because, and I love Jack Mallers' framing of this, actually, because he really hits the nail on the head. The talk that he gives, and if you haven't listened to it, go to YouTube, listen to it. This is truly a historical moment, and if you didn't get to listen to it in person, if you haven't listened to it yet, you got to. Jack Mallers absolutely kills it. I mean, he's crazy emotional. I cried while I was there. I was so freaking stoked. And this is a major thing. We talked about this, my opening to this is that we've moved from game theory into the real world. This felt inevitable when we discovered Bitcoin, when it was this tiny little nothing, that we would enter a phase, that there would be a moment in time where we truly entered the global political sphere, where people began taking this seriously as a world currency. And I think that just happened. I think that happened in the last 48 hours. We have moved from some corporate treasuries. We have moved from a bunch of nerds and VCs and cypherpunks. We have moved into the realm of the political sphere in earnest. Now the game theory of enemies, the game theory of different countries vying and trying to achieve independence in a currency that could become significant to their survival is to begin playing out as of right now. The next massive domino has dropped. And one thing I want to point out about why this is so significant, like, for instance, there's a lot of people, there's even a lot of Bitcoiners who are poo-pooing on this news. And you might ask why, like, is this good? I mean, people are literally suggesting or making it seem as if somehow Bitcoin has partnered with El Salvador and the El Salvadorian president. And then people are pointing out, oh, he's done some terrible thing, or this is some bad news item in relation to him, and all this nonsense. None of that is relevant to me. I don't think it's relevant to what just happened. I don't think it's relevant to the people in El Salvador that need help. Somebody asked on Twitter, somebody posted a tweet that said, you would think that even if it was North Korea announcing that they were going to legitimize, make legal tender, and put on the national treasury Bitcoin, that Bitcoiners would even applaud and scream for North Korea. And I say, hell yes. Hell yes, absolutely. Because it does not matter. A dictator and an authoritarian regime is where Bitcoin can do the most good. It doesn't matter what kind of evil piece of crap, and I'm not saying, I don't know anything really about the president of El Salvador, so I'm not going to make a comment on it. I don't really care. It doesn't matter. Because it's completely irrelevant. It does not matter. Bitcoin will provide the independence and the self-sovereignty to the people, no matter how crappy their leader may be. This isn't about partnering with authoritarians or dictators. It's got absolutely nothing to do with that. It's about the ability for people who are in the worst conditions, who are most set to benefit from this the most, actually having access to it. And for someone, regardless of whether they are a good or a bad president or whatever you think, the fact that they embrace it and it becomes available to those people and the benefits and the explosion of growth that Bitcoin will go through becomes accessible to those people is a monumentally great thing. This is the problem that Bitcoin is set to fix: monetary independence for the individual. And I don't care how crappy the government is that embraces that and gives that access to its people, because Bitcoin doesn't care. Bitcoin doesn't know. It's about whether or not it is accessible to the people who need it. And this is a declaration that it will be. This is a declaration that someone is not going to get in the way. And that is amazing news. Now, there's a lot more to unpack with this announcement, because Jack Mallers actually announced a couple of other things in this talk that I think are massive news items that kind of have gotten completely pushed under the rug or kind of ignored because of how big the El Salvador news is. So let me get a little bit of water, because, like, as it probably sounds, my voice is a little bit killing me right now. But you know, let's take a quick break and hit our sponsor and talk about a new kind of water, something refreshing and all natural on this so momentous of an occasion. No Coiner Tears, the bottled water that will start a liquid revolution, by SwanBitcoin.com, the greatest automatic Bitcoin savings plan. The scarcest of all liquid assets, No Coiner Tears have been carefully collected for over 12 years by plebs with an extraordinarily low time preference, from the tear ducts of Nouriel Roubini, Jamie Dimon, and even Peter Schiff. Our plebs gather No Coiner Tears from these most salty of sources. Using our patented 21-step filtration process, we remove all of the toxic salt, leaving behind a most luxurious and hydrating beverage, meant only for the most discerning of Bitcoiners. Get $10 in sats for free by starting your savings plan at swanbitcoin.com/guy and stack sats automatically while drinking the clean, refreshing, filtered, but hurt purity of No Coiner Tears. No joke, I just found another one. Just while I was away, there's a deputy from Paraguay that has just gone laser eyes in their profile and have said essentially the same thing. The comment that is tweeted here that I've translated just says, I was saying a long time ago, our country needs to advance hand in hand with the new generation. The moment has come, our moment. This week, we start with an important project to innovate Paraguay in front of the world. The real one to the moon, BTC and PayPal. And you know what? Jack Mallers has given them a template. They've already got a bill that they can introduce about exactly, remember these things, political environments and political bills and these things set standards. When one state in the United States finally makes a move to legitimize or create a regulatory architecture around something, so often what happens is these other states are like, oh, finally someone has done the work and basically shown. Nobody wants to be first, right? But nobody wants to be last. So they take that bill or make very minor changes so it's their quote unquote their own or whatever it is. And they basically use that same framework, but they're just waiting for someone to start the ball rolling. And this is so often the case that basically other countries or other states or other political jurisdictions or politicians themselves will start following as soon as someone essentially stands up, says, this is my stance, this is our model, and, you know, is brave enough to put themselves out there. And it looks like that's what's happening. And a funny thing, actually, the president of El Salvador actually clarified, because a lot of people were speculating about what it means when Bitcoin suddenly becomes merely a foreign currency. This has huge tax implications as well, because foreign currencies are not treated like commodities. And Caitlin Long actually has a really great tweet thread, and I haven't really verified it, and she's still a little bit unsure about the verification, but it seems like as soon as Bitcoin is on the books, like in legislation, it is legal tender in another country, it becomes listed as a foreign currency rather than a digital commodity, which means its regulatory framework is now the same as any other foreign currency. And the tax implications are very different for a foreign currency. And this is according to commercial law, as she says. I will have the link to her thread if you want to dig a little bit deeper into it, because I haven't really explored it to verify one way or the other. So this is just my speculation. But what's funny is that the president of El Salvador, because this has sparked so many conversations about the tax implications, the president of El Salvador actually clarified this and said that there will not be capital gains tax on Bitcoin in El Salvador because it is simply a foreign currency. That means that if Bitcoin goes 10x for anybody who lives in Salvador and happens to hold a little bit, there's no tax obligation. They're just using a currency that got stronger. It's not a commodity, it's not a stock, it's not a security. It is a foreign currency. It is a legitimate, decentralized world currency that they can use under the foreign currency framework as legal tender within the country. So it's really important to remember that so many laws are interrelated to each other, that they reference each other and they reference other countries' status in order to actually have the framework for how to treat things. So this isn't just news for El Salvador. This is news for the whole world, potentially. There are a lot of different laws on the books, and there are a lot of different regulatory frameworks, which may essentially have Bitcoin fall into an entirely separate category because El Salvador is making this legal tender. So that's something to keep a really close eye on, and I'm going to be reading everything I can get my hand on as people update or find some sort of reference to specifics, or there's new guidelines around what this actually means, specifically in the US and in Europe and other nations regarding their foreign currency policy. You know, don't quote me on this, but I think even in the US, if this is actually what happens and by commercial law it becomes essentially a foreign currency, what Caitlin Long was saying was that now banks will essentially be able to hold Bitcoin on their balance sheets or use Bitcoin or allow customers to trade Bitcoin, trade to and from Bitcoin like any foreign currency. Suddenly all of the complications and the bizarre or annoying regulations and specific licenses and stuff that they would have to deal with are essentially gone. It would now immediately just fall under the same framework as getting euros from the bank. So to what extent that would apply and exactly how that might play out and what other jurisdictions something like this may actually occur given a change of status in only El Salvador, but maybe even other countries, will be something to keep a very, very close eye on. But I want to get to the other things that Mallers brought up that I think are really, really major news items that, like I said, are kind of getting lost among all the craziness of the legal tender, the potential for legal tender in El Salvador. So let's play a quick clip from the talk.
I'm also going to be open sourcing all the work I did. And it's going to be called Bitcoin for Countries. And any country that needs help, download it from the fucking internet.
So this will be huge for a couple of different reasons. One is Jack Mallers is open sourcing what they have built. Now, I don't know what all that covers. It might be the legislation and the framework that they're talking about. It sounds also like all of these stuff they've done with Lightning Network. I don't know. I haven't been able to find any deep information on exactly what this is referring to, but this will be the Bitcoin for Countries. And I kind of see this as, do you remember when Michael Saylor, for those who don't know, Michael Saylor hosted a conference or a virtual conference for thousands of other investors and CEOs and business owners in order to lay out the Bitcoin framing, to lay out the Bitcoin argument, and then he also open sourced essentially how they went about buying Bitcoin and the framework that they have set up to give a step-by-step plan for other businesses, companies, investment firms, and all of these other institutions to put Bitcoin on their balance sheet and start making a Bitcoin position. They're laying the groundwork. I think there are many, many companies that are laying the groundwork right now, and some that have also already been buying Bitcoin and have yet to announce it. But that framework, I think this is akin to what Jack Mallers has done here, is that they are essentially open sourcing a framework and code and the projects and everything related to creating a Bitcoin plan and starting out the infrastructure for Bitcoin in a country. And this is another one of those things that I really love. Like, I think the open source ethos is so critical and it's such a fundamental part of Bitcoin. And that's its power. It is open source money. And it is spreading the open source culture. And I absolutely love that. I think this is a huge movement. I mean, Bitcoin itself has done more for the FOSS movement, the free and open source society, than I think anything else has. The overwhelming power that Bitcoin becoming such a crucial asset, such a powerful thing in the global sphere as a monetary asset, I think this will continue to accelerate, and the real movers in the world will be adopting and embracing the open source ethos. And I think that's just so awesome. I mean, congratulations a million times over to Jack for all of this and what they're building and what they're doing. Holy crap, we do not deserve Jack Mallers right now. So if you can show your support and also bug Jack, he's been randomly knocked off of Twitter, maybe because of this, I don't know. And, you know, there will be some very interesting pushback from this. I just read, there's a Reuters article talking about how this move by the El Salvadorian president could actually really complicate a $1 billion loan that they are trying to get, a program they're trying to get from the IMF. And some of the people were saying that this looks a little like crazy. This looks like the president doesn't have a concrete or strong economic plan, that, you know, we're just kind of throwing things to the winds. Like, all right, yeah, we'll adopt Bitcoin too. So I think we should absolutely expect a lot of pushback, both within El Salvador and importantly from also outside of El Salvador. But what's funny is if one of these does get passed, if legislation gets introduced in multiple countries, and this does happen somewhere, which I think now is inevitable, now I think we're waiting for the clock, we're waiting for things to align. If that does happen, even if the country is in a place where they can't get a loan, what's funny is the potential growth that we would see in the price of Bitcoin as this continues to be a Treasury Reserve asset for major institutions and even potentially central banks and political institutions and government treasuries. Bitcoin is a incredibly hard money. It has a lower inflation rate now than gold. It's the soundest monetary asset on the planet from a supply issuance perspective. If we see a continuation of the bull run and one of these countries adopts Bitcoin as legal tender and puts it on their national reserves, they might not need that $1 billion loan. And in fact, it would be far preferable, in order to have their own reserves that increase substantially in price, specifically because having a loan from some Western government or the IMF or some huge freaking institution that's doing everything they can to control you and may actually use this opportunity to say, oh, we're going to dangle this loan over you if you don't pass the laws or reject the laws that we want you to. Who the hell wants to be beholden to them? I think this is the very pushback that they're getting. These smaller countries are sick of it. If they can actually obtain some sort of independence, having a Bitcoin reserve and earning $1 billion from the increase in price of a sound money that's being adopted is a million times better than being beholden, being dependent on the IMF for a loan. And now that a lot of other politicians, the examples I gave here earlier, politician in Paraguay, politician in Panama, in Brazil, and somebody even mentioned one in one of the threads of someone in Norway. And again, these might be very, very side politicians. This is not as if the president or the top leaders of these countries are finally showing support and all of this is happening right now in the next 48 hours. I'm not suggesting that at all. But what it could mean if this goes well for one that does start to make the move, just assuming El Salvador does do this, if it goes incredibly well for El Salvador over the next 4 to 6 months, the support and the attention of the people who have laser eyes today in those other countries could very well explode. They could very quickly, depending on how this plays out, they could very quickly become some of the most important political leaders in the country, from someone who may not have been someone that you would have listened to or that they would have cared about prior to this. And what's funny is, I don't think there's a whole lot to lose for the politicians that actually come out in support of this, because people tend to forget, particularly in political scenarios, people forget mistakes really, really fast. So if they just take their laser eyes off, let's say this goes horribly for El Salvador, maybe we are about to go back into a horrific bear market. I think that's ridiculous, but let's say we are. Let's say something terrible happens and we have to reconsolidate and, you know, get through a slump here for the next 4 or 5 months. Well, then they could just take their laser eyes off and they're basically in the same spot that they always were. But if this goes well, if this is sound money, if this is adopted as legal tender by El Salvador, if this truly helps the people of El Salvador to send remittances back and forth, remember, it doesn't even matter if the Bitcoin price falls. If they're using Strike, if they're using Lightning Network for remittances and they're denominating it in dollars to go from the US to El Salvador, it doesn't even matter what the Bitcoin price does. 22% of their GDP, the amount of money that is flowing as remittances from the U.S. to El Salvador, is going to increase drastically. That is not a small portion of their GDP, and to remove remittance fees from that, it could have a huge impact. They could have the largest GDP growth in a year simply because they've stopped paying remittance fees to some international rent seeker, some bank that's telling them who they can and can't send it to, and I gotta take 30% just to send a buck. I mean, he said the fees are sometimes can actually be up to half of the money being sent. And he said they're onboarding 20,000 people in El Salvador every single day. There are only about 6.5 million citizens in El Salvador. If that same rate theoretically just kept consistent, the whole country would be onboarded in under a year. Now, that's not going to happen because infrastructure and internet access and the phones and devices that would be needed to make this work are not that widespread. But it could be a very significant portion of the people who do not have bank accounts in that country, and potentially all of the people who do have bank accounts. And the people who are primed to make the best use of it are the 2 million plus Salvadorans that live in the United States. And they're explicitly the ones that are contributing that 22% of GDP to El Salvador. This is a really big deal. And I think this is very analogous to what we've seen in Africa. Not around Bitcoin, even though Bitcoin actually has seen significant adoption in Africa, and it's really interesting to see how it's unfolding there, Nigeria specifically being such an interesting case study. But in regards to the leap in technology, is Africa completely skipped the analog, physical, broadband, fiber network sort of infrastructure, and they jumped 80 years ahead. They skipped the whole century of the 20th century, essentially, and they jumped straight to cell phone towers. And they've basically gone from almost no technology and infrastructure to essentially very cheap smartphones and cell phone infrastructure, and it has been a game changer. The amount of poverty, the amount of the decrease in poverty within the African nations is phenomenal. The fact that this is like largely untalked about is one of the most embarrassing things about the state of the world right now, is we are seeing unprecedented decreases in poverty in a lot of the developing world in the last 10 to 20 years that is unprecedented. And it's specifically because of the increased access to the internet and these small, cheap devices that can provide such benefit to them. I read this incredible story about this guy who had been talking about how difficult it is just to get clean water or information about the markets and stuff. Like, they might get a whole bunch of fish and they're headed to market in order to sell it, but it might take them 4 hours in the middle of the day, or excuse me, at the first thing in the morning to get to the next town or where it is that they're going to have the best chance of selling their fish into the market. And then they get there and they find out there's actually no market today, that the prices are really low. And so they sell half of what they expected to sell, or maybe there's no water when they go. Well, the introduction of cell phones, even where it's just one cell phone per 20 or 30 people, the ability to communicate that information, that in the morning they can get a message from one of their friends in the towns around them, and they say, we've got clean water here, there's a new supply of water, or the fish on the market are really high right now, lots of buyers in the market, and they can make those adjustments in real time. That spread of information can save them days, weeks of pain for misallocating those resources in the wrong place because the information can't spread through the market. And something as simple as one person in that village or town having a cell phone can change that. It can literally save lives. Think about what will happen when you can introduce an open source financial system that people can access with that same phone and do so independently of any political institution. We are going to see this same trend that has happened with cell phones and cellular networks in Africa and other developing countries accelerate in a major way as Bitcoin becomes integrated, as we reach that point in the adoption cycle and in the scaling and the protocol cycle itself. And I love, and something else that Jack Mallers says in the things he talks about is the most Chad thing in the entire speech. He says somebody was pressuring him to go to Europe and go to the EU. And he was like, screw that. I want to go where people need me. And he said specifically, I'll beat TransferWise later. And I love that. TransferWise is just an afterthought. It's like, screw those people. They don't need help. We're going to go to El Salvador. We're going to go to Latin America. We're going to go to Africa. We're going to go to the developing nations. And we're going to help them build out their infrastructure to make them independent, to enable the poorest people of the world access to this open source financial infrastructure that gives them tools that the Western world has benefited from and has had the privilege of for hundreds of years, really, at this point. And they're going to leapfrog all of it. They're going to skip all the crap. They're going to skip the international banking system. They're never going to be subject to these ridiculous corrupt banks. They're just going to route all the way around it. They're just going to immediately just skip it. And this goes to another point of the announcement. He mentioned that Blockstream was involved in this and that they were working with the plan with El Salvador, like they've already been in talks, and that Blockstream was doing something. And Blockstream actually made a tweet in relation to this right about the same time. And I want to read that really quick. We're excited to support El Salvador on its journey towards adoption of the Bitcoin standard. As the leading Bitcoin infrastructure provider, we commit to supporting public and private stakeholders in El Salvador in the following years, providing Bitcoin and liquid BTC satellite infrastructure to ensure redundancy of those networks, supporting the development of the Bitcoin mining industry in El Salvador using our expertise in enterprise mining operations and energy management, supporting the modernization of financial market infrastructure with security tokens issued on Blockstream AMP and trust-minimized trading systems, and advising the government on cold storage best practices and HSM or hardware security module technologies for securing Bitcoin holdings. This is a historic undertaking that will provide prosperity and incredible opportunities for generations to come. In a world of uncertainty, Bitcoin is a strong foundation on which to build the future. We are truly excited to work with Jack Mallers and Ellen Strike to accelerate hyper-Bitcoinization and make El Salvador a model for the world. So back to the point of leapfrogging the antiquated, walled gardened, permissioned infrastructure of the banking system and the world financial system. To go immediately to an open source permissionless system, if they have satellite infrastructure and wireless capabilities that even the most marginalized can access relatively well and relatively cheaply, and for everybody in that middle zone or everybody in the wealthier zone, the ability for them to then build new infrastructure and provide services to the people below them, and for everyone to be able to access potentially even a securities market on top of liquid, to actually have access to invest in other companies in the space, that they can issue a token in their local community that corresponds to one of their businesses, and they can invest in each other. They can invest in American securities. They can invest in securities all over the world in other businesses and ideas. And this is literally all provided. They could invest in mining infrastructure. They can invest a tiny share into a mining security that pays out Bitcoin on a regular basis. They can have a $10 savings account, a $10 worth savings account in Bitcoin that pays out 40 sats a day. But that could be life-changing to some of these people. And this is exactly the sort of thing that is so unbelievably difficult to shut down. It's satellite infrastructure. Anybody can just point a dish up to the sky. And after they're taught how to do it, everybody learns how to do it. And they have the hardware and the hardware wallets and the smartphones. And I actually think this is why Blockstream has developed such a cheap hardware wallet. The Jade wallet, it's only like $40. I actually think this has been, they've had this framework for a long time. They've been kind of looking towards this direction. I mean, they already have the satellite network up. Like, this is exactly what will enable everybody in every corner of the world to tap into this. And this is a model to show everyone how to do it. And to get a little context on the president of El Salvador's perspective on this, he's actually got a great little tweet thread laying out the math, laying out the big picture in just four tweets, and it's rather profound. So, quote, Bitcoin has a market cap of $680 billion. If 1% of it is invested in El Salvador, that would increase our GDP by 25%. On the other side, Bitcoin will have 10 million potential new users and the fastest growing way to transfer $6 billion a year in remittances. Besides, a chunk of those $6 billion is lost to intermediaries. By using Bitcoin, the amount received by more than a million low-income families will increase in the equivalent of billions of dollars every year. This will improve lives and the future of millions. Furthermore, 70% of El Salvador's population doesn't have a bank account and work in the informal economy. Financial inclusion is not only a moral imperative, but also a way to grow the country's economy, providing access to credit, savings, investment, and secure transactions. We hope that this decision will be just the beginning in providing a space where some of the leading innovators can reimagine the future of finance, potentially helping billions around the world. This is just absolutely insane. This is so crazy. And I want to share, before we close this one out, I don't want to go too long because I could probably just blab about this for the next 4 hours. But I want to leave you with two clips from Jack Mallers and what I think they mean. I think his framing in this and what he says is just so, so incredible. And a quick thank you just to our sponsors, Swan Bitcoin and the Bitbox. You guys know them. You love them. Bitbox O2 is an open source hardware wallet. You gotta hold your own keys. Things are gonna get crazy. Make sure that you're not beholden to some third party. And of course, Swan Bitcoin, you got a stack, you got a DCA. We got a red candle on the chart today because some idiots are actually selling Bitcoin in the wake of this news, which just is the funniest thing to me ever. Just DCA, and you won't miss an opportunity like this. Use Swan Bitcoin to do that, swanbitcoin.com/guy. But again, I want to leave you with these clips real quick from Jack Mallers.
I'll tell one story. There's a guy, his name's Chimbera, and I spent a few days with them. It was my first week there. He sat me down, and I said, you know, my grandfather was a fisherman, and my dad was a fisherman, and I thought I was going to be a fisherman. I'm not like you. You got a Chase bank account. You get a debit card. I fish. Nothing more, nothing less. Until Bitcoin, man, like, I got hope. I scan the same QR codes you do. When Bitcoin goes up 10%, Michael Saylor makes a lot of money. So do I. So do I. Chimbera's never had a bank account, but he's got a Bitcoin wallet. Chimbera's never had a savings account, but he's got a hardware wallet. Chimbera saw that this is financial inclusion, that this is a network and a monetary system that doesn't hold any bias, and there's no intermediary that could tell him that he's not allowed.
I scan the same QR codes as you. He's never had a bank account, but he's got a Bitcoin wallet. He's never had a savings account, but he's got a hardware wallet. Somebody who gets exposed to that, who has the freedom and the sovereignty that that provides, for anybody who's listened to this, who has actually started living off of Bitcoin and using Bitcoin on a regular basis and has, you know, really gotten onto Lightning too, you know how awful it is when you have to go back to the bank, when you realize you don't have control over your money, that it only moves at certain hours of the day, that you can't even get access, that you have these stupid limits, that the process of moving it is so complicated, and you have to open a bank account. Like, you have to actually set up all of this information in KYC. The freedom that you get from using Bitcoin, that person, that the individual that Jack Mallers was talking about, will never go back. They will always see the international banking system as a joke, as an awful, inferior thing to the freedom and the sovereignty he has been able to get with Bitcoin. There will be entire generations, there will be entire populations that grow up, that get Bitcoin, that get plugged into an open source, global, unbiased, unstoppable financial system, and they will never know what it's like to have a bank account. We have got a massive amount of work to do, but I just had to do an episode and say, God, kudos to Jack Mallers, to Strike, to Blockstream, to what they are putting together and making available for the world. This is the real work. They're not building some DeFi yield crap to casino chips so that everybody can make 200% on their fucking Dogecoin. They're going out and solving real problems and building real infrastructure and building real remittances and payments and real financial services to people that can't get it any other way. They are literally changing the world. And Jesus Christ, they deserve our thanks. The people dismissing this or downplaying this, I think we should feel really sorry for those people. So, anyway, thank you guys for listening. I'm Guy Swan. I'm going to leave you with Jack Mallers' last little comment. One small step for Bitcoin, one giant leap for mankind.
Well, my clicker's dying, so I don't have my next slide. But I'll end it. The reason I labeled the talk the way I did is because I think that this is one small step for Bitcoin. It's not a big step for Bitcoin. It's just another node on the network. It's another wallet. Just another president's, just another Bitcoin hodler, just like all of us. The network doesn't know who he is. The network doesn't give a fuck. And if he gets mad at the network, network's not going to flinch. He mines an invalid block. My node won't accept it. It's a small step for Bitcoin. It's a small step for Bitcoin, but it's a giant step and a giant leap for humanity. And the fact that there are people that needed hope and they found it in Bitcoin, and this community's fought for this moment, and I wanted to share it with you guys, and I'm so proud of everybody in this room. And we got a lot of work to do, but I hope today you find solace in knowing that you helped those that haven't been helped in maybe 250 years. So, so I'm done. The clicker's done. I'm way over time, but I fucking love you guys, man. I'm so proud of everybody in this room, and